KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
This is The Business, and I'm Kim Masters. With his script for Poor Things, writer Tony McNamara has secured his second Academy Award nomination. The film also marks his second collaboration with director Yorgos Lanthimos and his third partnership with Emma Stone, following 2018's The Favourite and the 2021 Disney movie Cruella. Poor Things follows the story of an oddly irresistible reanimated corpse named Bella Baxter, played by Stone. Since the scientist who created her uses a baby's brain, her mind evolves throughout the film from that of a toddler to a sort of grown-up woman discovering her autonomy and the joys of adult fun. In one of the movie's many comically graphic scenes, she finds that she very much enjoys sex with pompous macho man Duncan Wedderburn, played by Mark Ruffalo.
Well, then it will just be you I do furious jumping with.
Furious jumping. I love that.
I'm rested. Let us go again.
Again? Unfortunately, even I have my limits. Men cannot keep coming back for more.
It is a physiological problem? A weakness in men?
Well, perhaps so.
When you read the book, and I haven't had the benefit of reading the book, so you'll have to just tell me. I mean, there's been so much chatter about Emma being undressed and the sex scenes, which make a lot of sense in the context of the film. I don't know, given the Scottish nationalism, how much of that is part of the book?
Well, I think one of the things we did with the book was the book, her story is told by the men through letters and various things. You don't ever get her experience of it and she's not the central character in a way, but that was sort of the central character that really appealed to Yorgos and me once I read it. And so I think that there was elements we invented, but in story terms, there was in the book, she did go and work at the brothel and, you know, there was a different take about how she approached that I kind of made up. So, yeah, there was sex in the book. She does explore that side of herself in the same way. It's like she kind of, as this character, she was sort of like naively going into the world with this adventurous spirit, just like she's discovering food and books and politics and sex and with this kind of like unvarnished sort of no society impact on her. So she was just sort of meeting it as she went. Was our idea of it. And then in the book, it sort of does hit various, you know, she goes on a journey but we invented some and, you know, some of the big tentpole bits kind of held us, you know.
Yeah, she has said that she was very involved as a producer, that she had a lot of input creatively. So did you collaborate on what would be included and what would not be included? I mean, I'll say just before you answer, this was a very gutsy role for someone to take on. You have to have this total commitment to playing this extremely, you know, naive character who then changes and grows as she ages and matures. But clearly, it's asking a lot of an actress. And I don't know whether she was just in there completely or there were things where she was like, I don't know if I can do that.
No, I think it was like, because it had such a process to it in the sense that from the time Emma came on to the time we made the film, it was 3 or 4 years. And there was a whole process of how we would think through everything and, you know, that aspect. But every aspect of the film was sort of, Yorgos is very meticulous and him and Emma are, you know, to me, this is their film. You know, they're the duo who kind of created Bella and, you know, the physicality. So they were, you know, I kind of like can't separate them in this film in a lot of ways, you know, even though he's the director and she's the actor, because they're both producers and she was just involved in every aspect of it, you know, so down to words in rehearsal, just kind of everything. So I think a Yorgos film is very much a team and he and her were like the head of that team. So she was involved in everything, how the physicality of it, how everything would be approached. You know, she was always in those conversations with him the whole time, you know. And I think that's why, you know, it's such an invested, incredible performance because she loved the character and still talks about how she misses the character and felt like it was a freedom she'd kind of hadn't had in a way, or a character without shame and a character who was just adventuring in the world, you know, her spirit is in that character. And you know, and I think because she was sort of I think she was the first person to read the script other than Yorgos and I, So it's sort of like she was like ground zero for the project, you know.
But I read, notwithstanding the fact that she was so involved from the beginning, that when you write, you can't necessarily visualize a specific actor in a role.
No, I don't. I mean, I know her tone and I have a, you know, we have a sensibility that fits each other. No, because it's like, you know, I hear voices, I guess you would say.
Okay.
But good voices, not like go to the store and like take everyone out voices, more like just character talking. So it's more like that. So even though I'll know who's in it, when I come to write, something else happens and I can hear the characters talking and they're sort of in my head, and that's what I feel when I write it. Even if I know Emma's going to do it, which sometimes I do. But, you know, they make it their own sort of, no matter what you write, in a way.
Well, yes. I know that for an actor, like especially the young male actor in the film business, there was always this thing like, you know, you want to make some independent artistic films, but you also want a franchise. And it seems like as a writer, you also, you've written some very, not independent films because of Searchlight, but art house films, and had this enormous freedom, it seems like, on this movie, which was, I guess, purchased by the Favourites' success. But yeah. Then you also did and are doing Cruella.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a sort of lucky thing where Craig Gillespie, who I'd worked with, and Emma were looking for someone and both thought of me, and, you know, we all get on. And so, yeah, I mean, they're different experiences, but all the basics are sort of the same. But, I mean, obviously a big franchise movie is a different animal in lots of ways, but the stuff, what you do in your room when you're writing the script and it's just you and a yellow pad and a whiteboard, it's the same thing, you know, and, you know, a different approach and a different, there's much more to a big franchise movie and there's many more people invested in a way. Yorgos is very much his own thing and, you know, has a very singular vision and it's kept very private to us for a long time. Whereas the big studio movie is a bigger thing, but everyone's invested in the same thing. They're all trying to make a good film. So, yeah, but I've been lucky to be able to do both.
So going back to Emma, I read that your own child, your little toddler, inspired some of her lines, one including,
I must go punch that baby.
Which your kid actually said. I don't know how old this child is now, but hopefully, like Bella, maybe some learning has taken place about social norms.
Yes, I believe now he's 8. He's grown out of that phase. I think he was 3 at the time. And I think we'd done a draft of Bella, and she was quite nice. And it struck me, you know, I think at the start of the movie, we imagined her as about 3 or something. And I was saying to Yorgos, you know what? I'm like, my kids aren't nice, you know? They're sort of narcissistic sociopaths on some level. And I told him the story of being at a restaurant with my son and this screaming baby. And he went, someone punch that baby. and I told him, and he started laughing. He goes, that's it, we should put that in. And it actually informed her a bit more. So it was kind of good. But yeah, he's very proud.
Yes, I should think so.
Yeah, well, I'd see the movie for a decade, but he's still very proud.
Yes, you could just show him that one line and that, okay, that was yours. And now you go back to bed or whatever. Well, so this has been an amazing ride for you. I know you're working on Cruella too, right? Is it a bizarre, I mean, I don't know if you can do any of this or had to do any of it simultaneously and switch between projects, or do you just have to do first one thing and then the next?
I sort of always am doing a few things at once, you know, a bit of like even making the show, I was still working on Poor Things and the original Cruella. And so, yeah, I kind of like both. I like writing films because I like collaborating with directors and see what they're going to do. And I like TV because it's sort of show running and it's a bit different, collaborative in a different way. So I kind of am lucky to be able to switch between the two and haven't got tired of either. I've just got tired. So
I can relate to that. But I think that when you're writing, I would think having the focus to stay with the characters in your head would be very difficult if you're jumping from the one to the other.
Yeah, I seem to manage to do it. I do like, I have like, I won't, I'll do like 5:30 to 7:30 or 8. I'll be writing a film. And then if it's a show, I'll go to the show at 8 or 9 and then I'll just be in the show, you know, or be in that thing. And it isn't too hard. I can't do more than two things at once, but
yeah,
I can do two. I quite enjoy both. And it's easy. Once I'm in a story, I'm in a story, and those voices come. What can I do? You know?
Yes. They just tell you, say this and say that. I mean, I think that I would not be able to do this. I cannot write two stories at the same time as a journalist, but somehow you have that ability, so you are doing it. And I'm wondering now if there is another, I think you said Yorgos is very private and doesn't want people to share ideas before their time. So I won't ask you to specify, but is there another thing going on with these collaborators?
Yeah, there is. There's a script I've been working on for a few years of a book, American 1970s book. And it's, yeah, and I think it's not this year, next year he'll probably make it, I hope, touch wood. But yeah, we're just still working on that together.
Well, we'll look forward to the next one then, and we certainly enjoyed the last couple. Tony McNamara is the writer of Poor Things. The film is in theaters everywhere now. Thank you for talking to us.
No worries. Thank you very much.
And that's The Business. Joshua Farnham produced and edited today's program with help this week from Sue Margulies, Nick Lamponi, and Katie Gilchrist, who mixed the show. You can stream The Business as well as other great KCRW shows on kcrw.com or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on The Business.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.